In confusion and uncertainty, there emerges a guiding light, a beacon that cuts through the darkness. Welcome to Beacon of Truth with your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers.
Hello and welcome to a special Father's Day edition of Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke Sivers, and you're listening on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Yes, this is Father's Day weekend, and I have something very, very special for you today. We have a Father's Day roundtable discussion, which will include, of course, our producer extraordinaire, Ace McKay, but also Tom Price, the director of radio and programming and production at EWTN, and Father Joseph Mary from the MFVA Fathers at EWTN. And so we're all going to be talking about fatherhood and Father's Day. And why is Father Joseph here? Because priests are fathers too. You better believe it. Priests are just as much as fathers as we biological fathers are, for sure. So you always want to get the perspective from our priest fathers. We always don't want to forget them on Father's Day. And so it's going to be a great show. I've been really looking forward to this show all week. And, we want to take your calls, just about your thoughts about fathers. Maybe share some of your reflections about the meaning of fatherhood. 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986. Or you can always email us, beacon@ewtn.com. Or you can text the letters EWTN to 58177. Wait for a response, then text us your first name and your brief question. Remember that message and data rates may apply. You know, Father's Day, you know, and I'll be honest with you, Father's Day, during that, I didn't have the best relationship with my father growing up. And during the time that we were, not speaking to each other, Father's Day didn't really mean a whole lot to me, to be honest with you. Because there was a point in my life where I was so angry at my dad that I thought, you know, if I had to think of God the Father as my father, then I'd be an atheist, kind of a thing. But I tell you, you know, God's incredible mercy, how my father's entire life, literally life, turned around from watching me on EWTN initially and then Mother Angelica, and it just kind of just snowballed from there. Just really incredible story. And it was 74 years old when he came to faith. So it's never too late. And he really became a father to me, I guess in the truest sense of the word, from the time he found faith in Christ at 74 to the time he died at 82. So that was really toward the end of his life where he really became more like a father to me than any other time in my life. And you know, we can't forget that, you know, fathers are human beings, you know, and I've had some people that have some just great experiences with their dad growing up. And I did. I mean, I remember that there were times that we did have some good things with my dad. He took us to the movies. I remember he took us to see back when movies were double features. You know, they used to show two movies. And we used to go see like Bruce Lee movies or Kung Fu movies and stuff like that. And also during Christmas, he used to hand out the gifts. You know, it was his job to take the gifts from under the tree and to pass them out to people and things like that. So, you know, I do have some very good memories of my dad at certain points in my childhood. Watching him play, he was a professional musician, going to gigs and watching him play and feeling so proud that my dad was up there and being able to do that. And then, you know, fostering in my own heart a love of music, which I still have to this day, you know. And I actually played on a couple of his records as well. And I'll probably have to, maybe one of these days, Ace and I'll get together. I'll pull out the, because there's no copyright issue, because, you know, I actually filed the copyrights for the songs on behalf of my dad. So I can play some of those songs. You can hear me strumming away on some of my dad's old music. Yeah. So this is a really great time to celebrate. You know, Ace, I want to say this, that, you know, why this weekend is so special as well. You know, and like, for example, on Mother's Day, you don't hear people say, oh, happy Mother's Day to all the moms and all the dads who had to be moms right. for their kids. But on Father's Day, you hear, oh, happy Father's Day to all the dads and all the mothers who had to be fathers. Yeah. No, absolutely not. Only men can be fathers. Women can be the best mothers they can be, but they cannot take the place of a man. They cannot take the place of a father in the home. Impossible.
Yeah.
And again, I speak from personal experience. When my dad left, my mom didn't try to be both mom and dad, because a woman can't do that. A woman could be the greatest mother ever, and we have the greatest example in the Blessed Virgin Mary, but yeah. she cannot be a father to Jesus. That's why Joseph was there. You know, so even God knew in God's plan to use the family as a vehicle to bring salvation into the world, that Joseph was important
yeah.
to that. He was essential to that family life. And we can't forget that despite the weaknesses of our fathers and despite some of the mistakes that they make, mothers cannot take the place of fathers. My mother knew that. That's why she tried to put good role model men in my life.
Yeah.
You know, my wrestling coach, Mr. Mike DiPiano, the monks there at Newark Abbey, my Boy Scout, my scoutmaster, Dr. Alan H. Tobe, you know, men like that that really witnessed to me the power of manhood and authentic masculinity. And I'm totally grateful to her for that gift.
Well, and, you know, you and I both, you know, again, knowing that fatherhood abandonment that happened and affected us in great ways, angry ways, but we've processed through that. But I was blessed enough to have an amazing stepfather who was there to teach me all the things that a father teaches his son. To this day, he'll call me, do you need anything? I'm like, no, you taught me that when I was 16, and it's just a quick little, you know, washer and, you know, bolt. I got it. But also teaching me faith. Like, my dad was very much a humble man because he came from an era when, you know, you hid behind a bottle and that was where you know, your refuge. So when he found God, he was very vocal about, you know, that for him, that lifestyle corrupted a lot of his decision making. So that transparency, it is probably why I'm as transparent as I am. I am a mama's boy too, but my dad was very transparent in who he was in his relationship with God, and watching them in communion settings and watching them as they served within the church. Like, that set the tone for, you know, where I'm at today. And so, you know, my dad even called me last Sunday. He called me. He's like, hey, I just want to tell you I'm proud of you. I just want, you know, and like that stuff,
awesome.
That stuff just out of the blue is, he's coming more in touch with his sentimental side as he's gotten older, which I love because I'm a sentimental kid. But in that, you know, like, he's become a hugger and like just all those things. Like, we as men can be rugged and we can, you know, show that part of our sides, but we can also be that soft side and let our kids see that in us.
Yes, exactly right. And, you know, it's interesting. You know, you mentioned the fact that your father was an example, taught you the faith. Mine was just the opposite.
Yeah.
I learned nothing about the faith whatsoever yeah. from my father. All that came from my mother. But it was interesting to see how my father grew in faith once he did come to understand who Jesus was and the power of Christ in his life.
Yeah.
To watch that development, to watch him change and to break habits of the past and really become a heartfelt man of God. That was to see that as an adult. You know, I guess when you're a parent, you try to see that in your children. But me, it was just the opposite. I saw it in my parent.
Well,
you know, it was wonderful to witness. I remember praying with my dad for the first time. I mean, it was just an awesome experience.
Yeah, and I also still, I mean, my biological father still tried to have a relationship with me. And so it was very difficult for me as a kid because I wanted that love and acceptance from him as my blood father. But I also had this great man at home who was doing all the things, and he was the one I was calling dad and having that daily relationship and connection with. So it was a very much tug of war for me at times until I got to that point where God was like, I'm the one who defines you. The man you are today is because of the godly man I put in your life.
Yes.
And so I totally being both sides of that. Because, I mean, the weekend parent is awful enough, but I had the one who just showered me with gifts, and that's how he showed love. And gifts is the last of my love languages. So showed even more how little he knew about me. Like, I was quality time and touch, and I got none of that from him. So it was, and it's still to this day, it's a very isolated relationship for that reason.
Yeah. And you know, and that's why I'm excited for today's show as well. You know, to have this roundtable discussion with Tom Price, Director of Radio Programming and Production at EWTN Radio, and Father Joseph Mary Wolf, very popular friar, to talk about this issue, especially the way that men are portrayed in our culture. We're going to turn that whole thing around. Stay tuned and join us for this special Father's Day roundtable discussion on Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. Phone number to join us is 833-288-3986. See, it got me smiling. Whenever you hear that guitar in there, you know, I got that smile going across my face. Yeah. Love it.
I love that we live in a day and age where now dad rock is a radio format. So we got to bring it in today. So just
that
or yacht rock. That was, you know, one side or the other.
I love it. I love it. Nothing but the best for you, my friends and the EWTN family on Beacon of Truth. I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers. And so excited for today's show. We have a Father's Day roundtable discussion featuring Tom Price, the Director of Radio Programming and Production here at EWTN Radio, and Father Joseph Mary as well of the MFVA Friars. And so looking forward to a great discussion about the meaning of fatherhood, of course, joined by our wonderful producer, Ace McKay. We'd love for you to be part of the program as well, 833-288-3986.
Looking forward to this weekend as Father's Day special programming and messaging going on EWTN Radio. So make sure wherever you are, you take us with you, stream us, download the mobile app, and know that we are here to wish all of our fathers happy Father's Day.
All right, so when you hear that music, you know it is time to break open God's Word in the Psalms. And today we're looking at Psalm 134, which is the last of what's called the gradual Psalms, or the Songs of Ascent, Psalms 120 to 134 again. These were Psalms that were sung by worshipers as they ascended the road to Jerusalem to celebrate the Feast of Passover, or the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the Feast of Pentecost, also called the Feast of Weeks, or the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths. And so this is the shortest of the gradual Psalms. And I picked this one on purpose because I just am so looking forward to diving into our Father's Day roundtable discussion. But let's take a look at Psalm 134. Again, I'm using the Revised Grail Psalms, the version that's been approved by the U.S. bishops to use in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and prepared by the Benedictine monks of Conception Abbey. Again, just like all these songs of ascent in this section, the first line is a prescript, very simply says, a song of ascents. Very simple. Then it goes, only three verses. First, O come, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the courts of the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. So this last song within the gradual Psalms is just really a psalm of praise. It's almost, if you will, it's almost like a doxology for the end of this section of Psalms. So remember, after the end of every different book of the Psalms, books 1 through 5, the last psalm in that book has a doxology at the end. And so and at the end of book 5, Psalm 150 is like a doxology for the entire Sefer Tehillim, or the book of sung praises, which are the Psalms. And here, in a sense, Psalm 134 kind of acts like a doxology at the end of the gradual Psalms. And so it's about praising the Lord and standing by night in the courts of the house of the Lord. Remember, they've been making this journey, making this pilgrimage to Jerusalem, and as we heard in Psalm 124, you know, now they're standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Now they've made it. They're standing within the gates of Jerusalem. And oh, how about this? There's also 15 gradual psalms, which represent the 15 steps that lead up to the temple. Right? So how about that? And so now you've reached the place which you've journeyed to for so long, and now you just lift up your hands in the holy place. In other words, there's nothing else to do but worship. Now that you've reached your goal, there's nothing to do but worship. And that points to there's kind of a eschatological approach to this. What I mean by that? So it's looking toward the end, right? So our ultimate goal is the sonum bonum, the greatest good, life with God forever in heaven. Because when we die and go to heaven, there's nothing to do but praise the Lord, right? There's nothing to do but praise. And then the psalm ends in verse 3, may the Lord bless you from Zion, he who made both heaven and earth. So Zion, the heavenly Jerusalem, praising God who made heaven and earth, the Lord of all creation.
Well, and at least if we're going to be praising him, we can still have instruments, right? Is that are you giving me a confirmation?
Course.
Okay, just checking.
Of course. When you look in heaven, you know, you see the choirs of angels. So there's going to be singing. And I'm not exactly sure what instruments. You know, traditionally I always show like a harp or something like that, you know. But it'll be interesting to see what kind of instruments are used to praise the Lord in the heavens.
I'm just going to be like that guy at the soccer game with a drum and a whistle. That's all I need. It doesn't have to be the elaborate rototoms and none of that. Just, you know, I'm good.
Well, you know, if that becomes too annoying, Ace, you may have your own special place in heaven.
That's right.
Who knows?
As it should be.
All right. Beautiful. Well, now, so excited. It's time to dive in and to open up our Father's Day roundtable discussion. So I'd like to have join me right now on Beacon of Truth, Tom Price, the Director of Radio Programming and Production here at EWTN Radio, and Father Joseph Mary Wolf of the MFVA Fridays, the Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word, joining us now. Welcome, men of God, to Beacon of Truth.
Well, good to be with you, Deacon Harold.
Thank you, Deacon. This is going to be a lot of fun, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Now, as crazy as this seems, you know, we're talking about Father's Day. I think one of the first things that we need to do is talk about what a man is. I mean, who would have thought at this point in the development of human history, humanity, that we have to stop and ask a question about what a man is?
Yeah.
You know, because we're so confused right now, as St. Paul says, this crooked and depraved generation. Mm-hmm. Or as our Lord says in Mark's gospel, this adulterous and sinful generation. You know, that's where we find ourselves right now. And so there's even confusion. I mean, during the hearings for the justice of the Supreme Court, they asked the latest Supreme Court justice, you know, what is a woman? She couldn't answer. And she's a woman, but she could answer what a woman is. I mean, so, and because of this confusion, I think we just need to start off by clarifying first what a man is. So what would you say?
Well, certainly the man brings that strength and the wider vision, right? And the woman has this way to be able to see the individual, the person, and she's the heart of the home. We look to our fathers in a particular way to be a source of strength, especially through in times of difficulty or anxiety or stress. You know, where's Dad going to lead us? You know, he's going to be our protector. He's going to be the one that's going to show us the way and guide us. Not that women, of course, don't have also their own contributions to make toward that. But there's a strength that men have physically that also they have in their leadership qualities. But women have this ability to touch the heart, to see the heart, to see the person, the individual. And so we look to our mothers for that comfort, too, that only she can give.
Yeah, the French would say vive la différence, because we need both. We really do need both. And I always feel so sad when I run across people who, you know, who the children grow up without a dad in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just awful. I was saying on an earlier program today that our son Spencer, who is now 33 years old, mm-hmm. hard to believe from running around here at the network, yes. as he was a little kid. but he said, you know, Dad, of all my friends, I'm the only one who has an intact family.
Wow.
That is really something, mm-hmm. Something bad.
Yeah, and that fathers do have that contribution that, like you said, only they can make. And thankfully, like you had Deacon Harold, you had other men who were examples to you and mentors to you. You know, I was interested because you may not know, I was a wrestler too. But I think I wrestled at a lower weight class than you did.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure you did.
I was at 112.
Oh, and, yikes. Wow.
Mr. Kilberg was just a great man, an example. My own father was, of course, too. But you probably had that too in your own wrestling experience.
Oh, absolutely. I'm still in touch with Mr. D. That's what we call him, Mr. D.
Okay.
To this very day. And he's still a tremendous. In fact, in my first book, Behold the Man, which of course was also the name of my first EWTN series, mm-hmm. In the acknowledgments, I actually listed him specifically as one of the men that helped me inspire to write that book and to do the series.
You know, I remember one of my fondest memories of you, Deacon Harold, was when we had asked you to come and give the retreat to our employees. And you concluded that day, you gave two conferences that day, and you concluded that day with the story of your father. And it was such a beautiful, powerful thing that you referred to at the beginning of this program, but you went into more detail and you talked to us and our employees and just said how important our work is. Because what you saw was this transformation of your father once he met the Lord. And that's what the network is to be a vehicle to help people to meet the Lord, because he changes everything for the better. And when we become better, we also impact others for the better too.
Yes, amen. I agree. And so when I think about what a man is, you know, I because of everything going on, I had to start thinking a little deeper about what it means to be a man. And so my definition would be more teleological. In other words, it would be more like pointing toward the purpose and ultimate meaning of why we even exist as men and women. So I would say on a biological level, as a base level, a man is any human who is naturally ordered toward impregnation, right? And a woman is any human who is naturally ordered toward gestation, right? From a biological perspective, right? Because that definition takes out, what if you don't have a uterus? Well, you know, or you have cancer, you have to take your uterus out. You're still ordered naturally, in a natural law, toward gestation. It's just that you don't, because of no fault of your own, you just don't have the, your uterus, your organ was taken out because of cancer or whatever it may be. Uh-huh. But then there's also the theological, right? So as you alluded to, Father Joseph, in Genesis, it said that God put the man in the garden to till and to keep it. Abad and shamar in Hebrew means to serve, protect, and defend. So we have the biological, but now God also adds this spiritual, theological dimension, that a man's job is to serve, protect, and defend the very heart of love, which Father Joseph so beautifully described for a woman. And the woman is the very heart of God's love. That's why she's created last, not second after the man as an afterthought, but last, because she's the greatest of all God's creation, which is why we as Catholics hold the Blessed Virgin Mary in such high esteem. Well, my friends, we're just getting started. I'm so glad you're able to join us today for this Father's Day roundtable discussion with Tom Price and Father Joseph Mary. More when we get back, 833-288-3986.
It's
I
the
love that.
Sewer. That's what I need.
Yeah. I think that's the the right music for today's special Father's Day edition of Beacon of Truth.
That's right.
I'm your host, Deacon Harold Burke-Sivers, and we're having a Father's Day roundtable discussion, which includes Tom Price, the director of radio programming and production for EWTN Radio, and the very popular Father Joseph Mary of the Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word, and of course, the one and only Ace McKay, our producer.
Thank you, sir. Looking forward to Father's Day weekend as my own show, Catholics Coast to Coast, giving a Father's Day perspective on what it means to be a holy man, thanks to Dr. John Bishop and the conversation that he's actually having on Catholic Women Now, which is a podcast at Podcast Central. So I love that they're bringing in, just in time for Father's Day, that discussion. And then also a better Catholic understanding of how we can unplug from the matrix and what it means to take the red pill, and that's what the Catholic gentlemen. So all of that happening Saturday, wow, 2 and Sunday at 6 p.m. Eastern. It's Catholics Coast to Coast with myself here on EWTN Radio.
Ooh, I'm going to have to check that out. That sounds intriguing. All right. Well, we're continuing our discussion, our Father's Day roundtable discussion. We're speaking with Father Joseph Mary of the Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word and Tom Price, the director of radio programming and production for EWTN Radio. So, Tom, you know, you're going to share with us, coming back now, about some of your experiences with Father, with your own dad and other men in your life who have been, you know, father figures for you.
Well, just like Father Joseph was saying that you had something in common there with the wrestling, Harold, you and I have something in common because my dad was a musician. He was a jazz drummer. So growing up in St. Louis, he was always on a gig, whether it was, you know, a wedding reception or a parade, or he even played some bar mitzvah receptions from time to time. And so I would go along with him, and I really enjoyed that. It was a lot of fun, but he was not a particularly religious person. He had his basic beliefs, but he didn't care to share them with him. And, you know, I was young and stupid and didn't really ask the questions that I should have. But later on, But there was something else that he did teach me, and I'll get to that in just a minute here. Later on, as I was growing up, I do remember very clearly that while I was in basic training, this was during Vietnam, there was a drill sergeant that worked with us, and we all know the reputation of drill sergeants. But this man, even though he laid down the law, he was also a very kindly man. He kept that kind of quiet, but when I needed help getting through basic training, he was there and did assist me. And that was a very manly, a very fatherly thing for him to do. Then later on, when my family and I left California and moved to Minnesota, I met a wonderful priest, Father Tom Duffner, who has appeared here on EWTN. He's offered Mass at the Shrine. He's just an amazing man. I learned a lot, an awful lot, about what it means to be a good spiritual man, you know, try to be in my own walk. And so these two men really made a big impression on me. And if I could, I'll just take a minute here and talk about my own dad, because he really gave me a great example of something that I learned later on as a kid. I didn't know anything at all about racism. Praise be to God. I never had any exposure to that as a kid growing up in St. Louis. And my dad, even though he never said anything about the topic of racism, every day the music that we heard, and because we were a musical family, every day I would hear Nat King Cole, and I'd hear Oscar Peterson, and I'd hear Nancy Wilson, and Ray Charles, and Ella Fitzgerald, all these wonderful people. So later on, when I started to hear about racism as a kid, I would think, well, that's stupid. These people, the ones that I just mentioned and many others, they're a lot smarter than me. They know a lot more about music. They know a lot more about life. These are brilliant people. How could anybody look down on them in any way? And so without even saying a word, you know, without firing a shot, as it were, he taught me an awful lot about what racism is and how it is so divisive and toxic. And so I'll always be grateful to him for that.
Wow. You know, I was thinking about spiritual fatherhood, of course, and that's the vocation that God has given to me. And I was thinking about St. Francis, my spiritual father. and spiritual father of so many, and that without St. Francis, would there be a St. Clare? And sure, God could have worked apart from Francis, but it was Francis's totality of giving himself, his authenticity, his striving to give his all for God and to grow into virtue and to just not let anything hinder that pursuit that so inspired St. Clare that she wanted to be part of it. And although there wasn't a woman's community at the time, she knew that spirit. She knew that fire of God alive in Francis, and she wanted that same fire. And so she would be the beginning of the women's branch of the Franciscans. So you look at Francis, and really I think women and children are looking to us men for that example. Your wives and your children, you who are biological fathers, but also our parishioners, the faithful. They're looking to us priests too, to be those virtuous examples who have a vision for the future, who want to choose something other than just themselves, and to dedicate themselves to something greater than themselves, namely the good of their family, then that's what they're looking for from us.
Yes, amen.
Well, and I know for myself, you know, I was talking about my dad earlier, but for me, my godfather was a huge part of my life and actually didn't really come in, like I was aware of him, like he would call on occasion, but he was also in radio, so he was moving wherever the job was, but when he moved back into my life, it was at a time that I was, you know, at that 19, 20, 21-ish, and he was a man of God, but his, and this is the simplest advice I ever got from him, and it has served me so well. He, whenever I would get uptight about something, as we all do when we're 19, 20, is he would go, "You need to chill out. Like, why are you so uptight? Like, just relax." You know, and then he would pray with me, and you know, and I just remember those conversations about life, and he's like, don't get to my age and have regrets, and you know, and he was, you know, 35, 36 at the time, which, you know, it didn't stop me from having those regrets, but I always went back to the chill factor. It was always, you know, and that's, you know, and Deacon and I have talked about this on the show already regularly of where's your peace when you're making decisions, when you're facing things, when you're looking back at your past, are you letting it weigh on you or are you chilling? Are you letting that? And so him saying that to me was very profound at a time that carried me well, at even well before I became a dad.
Yeah, absolutely. And we also don't want to forget, men who have adopted children as well, that they're very much fathers. And because who gives the model example of that? St. Joseph.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. Yeah. Because some people say, oh, it's not really my kid, or, you know, in fact, we had on the show, we had a couple, a beautiful Catholic couple, but talking about struggling with infertility. You know, and unable to have children, biological children of their own. But we have to remember, back in the time of Christ, if the father of the family died, typically another member of that family, a brother or somebody, would take over the responsibilities. Mm-hmm. And that child would become the son of the man who took over that family. And remember, even the fighting in the temple. What does the Blessed Mother say? Your father and mm-hmm. I were looking for you anxiously. Not your stepfather, not this guy that God put here to be with me, your father. She actually yeah. calls him father. And then Jesus says, did you not know I had to be about my father's business? Which, of course, sounds confusing because he's talking about the Heavenly Father. He didn't think about Joseph. but it's this beautiful understanding, you know, that fathers is not just about biology, right? And again, it ties in again with our spiritual fathers, our priests, who are fathers of families. You know, if a parish priest is a father of a parish family. And then, you know, the MFVA friars are fathers serving Holy Mother Church through the incredible witness of the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. And television, and everything that EWTN does for so many people. You know, so these are all beautiful examples of fatherhood, which doesn't take away from motherhood whatsoever. It's not like one is better than the other, you know, but they both work together in harmony. It's It's the beautiful continuity that they have together. And it's precisely because of the differences between men and women, mothers and fathers, that they're able to have unity. You know, and I think that's a principle that we should not forget when we're discussing this today. We're talking about Father's Day, fatherhood. On the Father's Day Roundtable Discussion, a special edition of Beacon of Truth with Tom Price, the Director of Radio Programming and Production at EW10 Radio, Father Joseph Mary Wolfe of the Franciscan Missionaries of the Eternal Word, and our crack producer, Ace McKay. Maybe you want to share with us your experience of fatherhood, a father in your family, the kind of a man that he was in your life. The phone number to call to join us is 833-288-3986. Again, that's 833-288-3986.
Deacon Harold, if I could, I'd like to share something that came in from one of our listeners, Stephen, who is watching us on YouTube this afternoon. Stephen says, my dad died in 1983 in a motorcycle accident when I was 27. I'm so glad he became a Christian 4 years before that, before he died, so that he could be a great witness. Wow.
Wow. Mm-hmm. That's awesome.
And yeah,
I love that.
That's something that Stephen can look back on the rest of his life.
Yes, that's right. I know for me too, when my dad has conversion, he would say things to me like, God is real, son. God is real. You know, like, I wish I knew back then what I know now. You know, things like that.
Yeah.
And then say he was proud of me. I mean, all the things I was looking for, you know, when I was younger, I got toward the end of his life. You know, it's still powerful and meaningful. So this is where you have to continue to pray that some men who are lost, that they find that light of Christ. Some men who are living in darkness will allow the light of Christ to shine into their lives so that people can see the good works that they do and give glory to God, as the scriptures tell us. Beautiful witness. You know, the catechism says in paragraph 239, says, by calling God Father, the language of faith indicates a couple of main things. First of all, that God is the origin of everything, right? That he has transcendent authority. And I think about Psalm 145. It says, the eyes of all creatures look to you, right? And that he is, at the same time, he has goodness and love, loving care for all of his children. You know, so this beautiful paternal tenderness of our God. But of course, there's also beautiful imagery of the Lord as motherhood too, like Psalm 131, a weaned child on his mother's breast, even so is my soul, you know, in response to the Lord. But this idea that the Lord is the generator of everything, right? He's the one that puts the seed out, if you will, of his love into the universe. And we, in a sense, are receivers of that gift. And then, in turn, we allow that seed of faith to grow within us, and we give that love and life and intimacy and communion back to him by doing what Jesus said, loving God, returning the love that he gave to us, that he initiated to us. We give that back to him, and by loving our neighbor as ourselves. Right? And I think that one of the things that fathers should do is to be that strength and that witness. Because even in my own life, the kids would go to their mom when they wanted something like how to deal with an emotion or how to deal with their feelings and things like that. And they would come to me with practical stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, Dad, I just can't. I got to get this thing fixed, or I got to get this thing on a computer. I got to get this, put this thing together. I'm not sure how to do it. You know, so just instinctively, kids know, you know, by going to their mothers and fathers looking for different things. And I think that's one of the dangers in our culture today, by confusing children about this whole gender things and mothers and fathers. I think that's obviously done on purpose to confuse our children. But in their heart of hearts, you know, because God is the one who put that special place in their hearts that are only reserved for him. You know, that they recognize that they're able to see beyond all the nonsense and be able to see the truth.
Yes, you know, and mentoring is such an important part of fatherhood that we want to be shown how to do certain things, like you mentioned there. You know, how do I fix this? How do I work on my car, change the oil in my car, that sort of thing. But we also want to know, how am I supposed to live? And how am I supposed to deal with the outside world that our dads are involved in every day a lot of times? So you two, Tom and Deacon Harold, you were mentored by your fathers regarding music. I was mentored about milking cows, and building fences, and pounding nails, and those sort of things. And, you know, I remember some of my dad's friends and neighbors, they would use curse words, but my dad never did. He never joined them in that sort of thing. And I always remember that about my dad. He was a prayerful man. He lived his faith. And at the end, we had very sweet moments where we just expressed our love for each other. We knew he was going to be going soon. And that was just a precious time. You know, I was just so grateful for my father, his own example, and what he showed me.
Yeah. And if we can broaden it out a little bit to fathers-in-law, I look at Adrienne's father, Dewey, and wow, what, I mean, a real manly man. I don't know if you ever had the opportunity to meet him, Father, but just a fabulous man who loved the Lord, loved his family. You always knew where you stood with him, and he really meant a lot to me as I was trying to figure out, okay, how do I be a good husband? How do I be a good dad? You know, I may not be able to rebuild a carburetor the way he could, but he really taught me a whole lot just by being himself.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think, too, I try to identify the parts of myself that are in my kids, because then I think when I was at their age, how would I have wanted to be responded to? But then I also already kind of know how they're thinking, because sure. Mm-hmm. They are part me. And so I have to try to say, well, you know, when I dealt with that, this is how I handled it and it blew up, or this is how I handled it and it was peaceful, you know, so they see, okay, dad made mistakes. But then, as much as my older daughters don't want to admit that they're part me, I go, yeah, that's daddy's girl. They're like, shh, don't say that, you know, but yeah, identifying that part of them. And then also I love being able to lean on God from the perspective of that, in the same way that my parents let me make mistakes. Now, as a latchkey kid, I think all of us Gen Xers, we all made our mistakes because we were, you know, out the door when the, you know, breakfast was done. When Dick Clark was done, you had to hit the road, and then you couldn't come home until the light post was on. But in that, I try to let my girls, you know, within a certain point, make their mistakes, so that God can also, they're leaning into him, not all, I mean, they know dad's here, but they also know, hey, press into God. What does God say in the situations that you're facing, or when you're dealing with things at school? Because that's the habit that I want them to be in when I'm not around.
Yeah, you know, exactly.
And I think one of the keys really for us to be good fathers is that we have to be men who are fathered by God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So we have to be men of prayer. And it's there that we're going to get the light, the grace that we need for the challenges that we face and the ways that we can best lead those entrusted to our care. So Saint Joseph is known for his silence. You know, he gave the example. He immediately did God's will. And men are not looking for acclaim so much, you know, and what they do, but they just do it quietly. They do it purposefully. They do it as well as they can. They do it for others. And that speaks, you know, about their love for their family. But I think that the foundation really has to be that we're men of prayer. And if we are, then we will have the light and the grace and the strength to do the vocation God has called us to.
No, amen. I could not agree with you more. You know, one thing I want to make sure that we do, what advice would you give to some of the men out there? You may have some men who are young fathers whose kids are still infants, and they're just trying to figure it all out, and they want to do a good job. They have a heart for God, but maybe they didn't have a solid foundation of fatherhood themselves. Maybe have on the other end of the spectrum, maybe you have a guy who's older now who realized, I was not a man of God when I was younger. Now I've come to faith in God, but my kids, you know, I kind of have this tension between them, because they remember me the way I was, not the way I am now, living in God. You know, so what kind of recommendation, ideas could we give to kind of inspire and help these men to truly become the men who God created and calls each one of them to be?
You know, here in Birmingham, we have a wonderful group that's just exploded at the cathedral called Fraternus. And it's about supporting one another, about talking about virtue, raising our sons, their sons, to be virtuous men. Mm-hmm. And so they will talk about a specific virtue, and they'll have a discussion about that. But then they'll also do things like play, you know, this game where dodgeball.
Yeah,
you know,
dodgeball.
And you get nailed and all of that manly things. So I think we need support. And when I gave a retreat to the men of St. Joseph, I noticed they said, you know, that you can be picked off one at a time, but if you're together, you've got a certain strength. So to have the support of other men, I think, is helpful.
Look to, I would say, look to those men in your life, and maybe they're not walking around you physically, but you read about them. I think of somebody like St. Thomas More, mm-hmm. who lived it every day, loved his family, but loved the Lord even more, which is what we have to do.
Yeah. My kids like to be a part of my life. Like, they like to go do things with wherever I'm at. They just want to be a part of that. And I love that. But it also, I like to flip the coin and go into their world. Because, like, I got theater kids. So being in the thick of what they're doing in rehearsals or whatever, like, I want to have those discussions. Because in that, they're creating their own community. So what kind of discussions are they having within their peers and community that I can also be a part of and go, okay, well, you know, because sometimes they're in situations where they don't know how to give advice to their friends. And so, you know, as dad, I feel like that's where my dad was always great at. He would come up, well, you might want to tell them, or, you know, have them come over here and we'll just, you know, hang out, and, you know, they can feel like that. Like, my house, they'll be, my friends would come over and I wouldn't even be home. Like, your mom said, come over whenever, and dad was here, so we just thought dinner was served. So, you know, when you create that, it takes a village to raise each other's kids, because you need that community around you, and you never know the influence that you're having on neighbors' kids and vice versa. So to me, that's, I always want to be in their world as they also want to be in mine.
And don't forget, they're always watching.
Yes.
Even, you know, when they're 6 weeks old, when they're 60, they're always watching, and don't let them down.
You know, I have a friend who grew up on the bayou. Their house was right on the bayou in Louisiana. And she gave some great advice. She said, you know, my dad and my mom, they could have built a fence to keep us from drowning in the bayou. But rather, they taught us how to swim. And I think that's the culture, right? That we're living in this culture. How do our kids navigate this? How do our faithful navigate this? Mm. Teach them how to swim in it. You know the struggles, the temptations, the dangers that are out there. And so teaching them how to swim in this culture.
You bet.
Mm. Yes, amen. So I would say, don't forget what the priorities are as a man, as a husband, as a father. Relationship with God first, family second, everything else after that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Now, some people would say, wait a minute, I thought you put your family first. But our response should be, if I don't put God first in my life, I'm no good to my wife and children.
Yeah.
And same thing for Father Joseph. You know, many times I've talked to bishops, and I just, you know, because of the nature of what I do in my travel, I'm around bishops quite often, actually. And I have dinner with them. I say, Your Excellency, what if you have a priest that maybe you even ordained, you've known ever since he was a seminarian, and he comes to you one day and says he wants to leave the priesthood? When you sit down with him that first time, What do you say? And almost every bishop's answers me the same way. First thing he says is, when did you stop praying? Which goes exactly to Father Joseph's point about being a man of prayer. That has to come first.
Yeah.
Then your family, then your job and everything. And for me, deacon, that's after God, family. But fortunately, is in ordained ministry and having a family, they all bleed into each other. So my diaconal ministry bleeds into my family life and obviously bleeds into my intimacy and relationship with God. So that's what I would say, man. And never work at a job that's a cause of division within the family, but always try to promote and provide for its security and unity and harmony.
Yes.
Teaching your children by your example of what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ.
Well, right. You know, men are naturally made to be loving protectors and providers and spiritual leaders. As much as my wife knows how much I love her, but she also knows that I love the Lord even more.
Amen.
Amen.
I say teach them the Bible and the Beatles and everything else falls into place.
All right. Well, I said a very special Tom Price joining us today, the director of radio programming production, Father Joseph Mary Wolf of the Franciscan Ministries of the Eternal Word. We got a great slate of shows for you next week. So, Father, would you give us a blessing on our way out?
May the Lord bless you, and especially you who are fathers. May He impart to you new graces and wisdom and strength to lead and guide your family.